Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
August 14th, 2007, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, harsh light. Welcome back to another edition of The Digital Story. I'm going to talk a little bit today about dealing with harsh lighting conditions. Now, this is something that we all have to deal with at one time or another. You know, you have that bright, sunny day, and you're tasked with capturing photos at some sort of event. Now, the thing about shooting in harsh light is that it's contrasty, right? And the light isn't always very flattering. A lot of times it might be coming from a very high overhead angle. It's laser beamy. It's not pretty, just not a flattering light. Yet, you have to come away with good shots. Now, I just did a wedding recently, an August wedding, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a bright, clear, very sunny day. And I had to deal with all of these things, you know, all of these tough, you know, I mean, I had a bride in a white gown. I had a groom and the groomsmen in black tuxedos. They were out in the sunshine. I had all sorts of mix of skin tones and attire to deal with, and yet I'm being paid to come away with good shots. So exactly how do I do that? How, you know, what do you do in this sort of situation? Do you just run for the hills and say, hey, I'll be back at 4 o'clock when the light is sweet? Or, you know, how do you gut it out and come away with some good photos? Well, I have a few tips for you, and I'm just going to run through them right now. This first tip might surprise you a little bit, but on these types of assignments, I still shoot some film. And the reason why is because film has, especially print film, has great latitude. It can handle these sort of high contrast situations particularly well. And I use a portrait film, a Fuji NPH 400, which is getting harder and harder to find. But one of the things that I like about it is that it's a medium contrast film. It's lower contrast than a lot of the amateur emulsions out on the market, which means that when I shoot weddings in contrasty light, I have a better chance of holding the highlights in the bright areas of the bride's gown and at the same time holding some of those deep shadow areas that you'll see in the groom's tuxedo. So shooting with film, believe it or not, is one of the things that I do when I'm trying to cope with these assignments. Of course, the first thing that I have to do is get permission from the client to let me shoot with film. Now, I know that sounds sort of funny, but these days I have to be very upfront that I'd like to shoot with film in addition to digital, because a lot of couples these days just want all digital. So I'll state my case for having some film too. And of course, one of the things that I do to sort of swing them over my way on this is that I'll give them the negatives also. Now, a lot of professional photographers will just, you know, they won't believe that I would say such a thing or do such a thing as give up the negatives, because, you know, that's my intellectual property. But actually, I'm okay with that. I scan the negatives, or actually have the lab scan the negatives when they process them. I keep the scans and I give them the negatives, and that way they can get reprints or do whatever they want up the road. And it also gives me a little bit of leverage while I'm trying to talk them into letting me shoot some film. Because shooting with film really helps. There are some real advantages on bright, contrasty days. You know, in addition to, you know, dealing with these deep shadows and these really hot highlights so well because of its latitude, it also means that I get to take the shoot, that part of the shoot, directly to a professional lab and have them deal with the printing and making the prints look good. And believe me, after a long couple days of preparing for and then actually shooting a wedding, that idea sounds really good. So tip number one is, you know, use some film if you can, or if you even want to. Some folks don't even want to deal with it. But in my case, I use a little bit of film, and usually about half the shots that I shoot from this type of event are on film. Now for the digital portion of the shoot, first tip is use the best digital camera you have. And if you have a digital SLR, use that instead of a compact. And if you have a, you know, a mid to high level digital SLR, use that, because the better your camera, usually the more capable it is for dealing with these sort of situations. When I was shooting the wedding the other day, you know, my main camera is a Canon 5D, and it does surprisingly well in these contrasty situations, especially when I think about what digital cameras produced just a few years ago. They would be devoured. They would be devoured by some of this lighting that I saw the other day. Trying to do a group shot out in the open at 2:30 in the afternoon because there was no shade anywhere, and I had, you know, this ginormous mass of people, like 25 people that I had to do a group shot, and there was no tree big enough to put them under. And so guess what? Out in the open, 2:30 in the afternoon, and I had to shoot it. I shot it both with film and the 5D, and, you know, that... You know, a few years ago, any camera that I would have had would have just been, as I said, devoured by this lighting situation. As it was, I'm still not crazy about the shot. It is just too contrasty, especially with the digital camera. So go with the best digital camera that you have. Put the best glass on it that you have. It helps. Believe it or not, it makes a difference. And I can even tell the shots that were done with the 5D, and then my backup body, which is a Rebel XTi, I can tell the difference between those two cameras in this kind of lighting condition. My next tip is to use a long lens, and I know this is going to sound kind of funny to you, but it really helps. One of my go-to lenses is a Canon 70-200 f4 L series lens. I just love this lens. It has great coatings on the optics. It is very sharp, and it's just a lens that makes everything look a little bit better. Now, the reason why I say go with a longer lens is a lot of times what happens when you're trying, when the camera is trying to average out a really bright scene, there'll be maybe some dark elements in the background or some really bright elements in the background. There'll be hot spots on the people's faces, there'll be all sorts of things going on with clothing, and it's really, there's a lot of different types of light there, or reflection, I should say, for the camera to deal with. When I notice that when I shoot with a long lens, and especially like right around 200 millimeters on the 5D, and I get in tighter, there seems to be less of lighting for the camera to deal with. In other words, you know, there isn't as broad a latitude, dynamic range that the camera has to deal with. And a lot of times the shots look a lot better. And this is particularly good if you can get the harsh light like coming from behind them a little bit. So you get some rim lighting on the hair, which is really nice for people with dark hair especially. And then you just have to kind of deal with, you know, their skin tones and, you know, what's going on with their face and so forth. And when you're zoomed in with a longer lens, the camera just does a better job of figuring all of that out, and the shots are a lot better. So if I'm shooting with a long lens out in bright contrasty light and zooming in, as opposed to, let's say, a medium focal length where it's taking in all sorts of elements from the scene that are all over, you know, latitude-wise, all over the place, the shots that are zoomed in with the 70-200, to me, they look a whole lot better, and I usually don't even have to do anything in post-processing to them. I can just motor on to the next shot. When I do have to shoot with a shorter lens, a shorter focal length lens, then I either use fill flash or reflectors, depending on the situation. If I'm by myself, I'll put a flash on a bracket and use fill flash with a shorter lens because I'm usually a lot closer to the subjects. if I have someone with me, one or two people with me, then I prefer to go the route with reflectors because, you know, you can really have them move that light around, you know, exactly where you want it. And these disc reflectors that fold up, they're really nice. And the other thing that I like about the reflectors is that, you know, you have a gold side and a silver side. And then I usually carry a white one too. So you have different surfaces for different types of lighting and different types of skin tones and different conditions. And you can really match the reflector to, you know, the subject and the type of lighting that you have. So I like reflectors a lot, but a lot of times I'm working alone and I just don't have anyone to hold them for me. So then I have to go the route with fill flash. And fill flash really does help a lot. Again, you have to be within range of the flash. But what it does is, you know, it brings that light in from the front and it helps offset some of that wackiness of, you know, light coming down from on top or, you know, wherever it happens to be. The fill flash really helps even out, you know, what I call a lot of the bad effects of harsh lighting. Now, one thing that the fill flash doesn't fix and that you have to look out for is dappled lighting. If you're in a situation, let's say under a tree where you have, you know, bright spots coming in and dark areas and they're showing up on the person's face, don't think that the fill flash is going to even that out. It'll help offset it a little bit, but it won't eliminate the effects of dappled lighting. So the thing that you really have to do there is try to reposition your subject so they don't have dappled light on their face. Go ahead and use fill flash because sometimes, you know, a branch will move a little bit, a little breeze or something, and it might change it. So go ahead and use fill flash to help offset the effects, but don't think that fill flash is going to eliminate, you know, that dappled lighting on the face. The best thing to do is just stay away from it altogether. Now, this leads me to the photographer's best friend on a bright, hot, contrasty day, and that is a big, shady tree. And if you can find one of those, oh boy, use it. Now, a lot of times, it's difficult to find a tree that's big enough for large group shots, you know, shots of like a dozen or 15 or 20 people. It's going to be rare that you're going to find a tree that has enough shade to do that. But for the smaller group shots and for the portraits, the single and the twosies and threesies, a lot of times the shade from a tree is really, really a wonderful thing. And in this case, what you do is you can put your subjects under the tree, look for a nice background. And, you know, I don't really care if the background comes out hot in the shot. Really what I want is good exposure on my subjects at this point. And then I'll use a fill flash to fill in the shot. So I have subjects under the tree in the shade. I'm using fill flash so I get a nice light from the front. A lot of times I will adjust my white balance setting to something a little warmer, maybe cloudy or maybe somewhere in between cloudy and auto. It depends, but the skin tones can get a little cool when you have the combination of a shade from a tree and then fill flash. Both of those lighting conditions are on the cool side, so you might want to warm them up a little bit. That is if you have time. Sometimes when you're having to work really quickly, you don't have time to fool around with the white balance. They won't let you do it. The clients won't let you do it. They just want you to take the shot so that, you know, they can go do the next thing, which is, you know, usually have a beer or a glass of champagne. But at any rate, if you have time to fool around with the white balance, you might want to warm things up. If not, you know, just know that you can take care of it later. And this is particularly true if you're shooting raw. And these days, I recommend, because the cameras have much better burst modes than they used to. You used to not be able to shoot raw at weddings as much because the burst mode wasn't very good on the camera. And if you wanted to do a series of shots, it might not be able to keep up in raw mode. But now, like for instance, with my 5D, I can shoot in raw and I can, you know, reel off, you know, 7-8 frames, no problem at all in continuous mode. So one of the things that you want to underline, if you're having to deal in any kind of bad lighting condition, whether it's a harsh contrasty day or, you know, some other lighting condition, maybe where it's very dark. Shooting in RAW gives you a lot of advantages because it gives you the power to clean things up in post-production if you need to. It just, you retain more information when you shoot RAW than you do in JPEG. And in these bizarre lighting conditions, you need every little bit that you can get. So shooting RAW with a digital camera is a big, big deal in bad lighting. Now, once you have your RAW files and you go into post-production, use an application that has highlight and shadow recovery. Now, Adobe Camera Raw 4.0 has shadow and highlight sliders. Adobe Lightroom, both for the Mac and for Windows, has highlight and shadow recovery. Aputure, Apple's Aputure, has excellent highlight and shadow recovery. And now, the new iPhoto 08 that just was announced recently as part of iLife 08, one of the additions that they made to the Adjust palette there is that they actually added highlight and shadow recovery to that too. And this is wonderful. This is wonderful because this is an application that you know, is a very affordable. You get the whole iLife suite for $79, and that includes, you know, GarageBand and iMovie and all sorts of stuff, and you get the new iPhoto that has these tools. So, you know, just make sure that when it's time to process your RAW images, that you use an image editor that has highlight and shadow recovery. Now, why is that important? Well, because, you know, you're going to do the best you can to capture the best image possible. But you are working in harsh light. So sometimes you're going to have dark areas that just block up. And the other thing that's really going to happen a lot is that you're going to have highlight areas that are just going to blow out. Now, if you're shooting in RAW mode with your digital camera and you get a reasonably good exposure, a reasonably good capture, it might not look ultra pretty when you first look at it because of the lighting condition. But you look at the histogram and you see that it seems like you have most of the information there. Then by using the highlight recovery slider, you can just move that slider to one direction. It's usually to the right. And what the image processor will actually, where you have a blown out highlight, it will begin to put some tone in there. And sometimes it's tone that you've captured that just isn't represented in the preview. Sometimes there's a little mix of taking what's there and adding to it. However it's doing it, a lot of times it does it very nicely. And it can save a lot of shots. So the same thing with the shadow recovery. You have a totally blocked up area. Let's say it's on the groom's tuxedo. You got the face exposure right, but then, you know, suddenly, you know, his suit has just gone totally black. Use a little bit of shadow recovery there and just move it enough so you start to get some detail in that very dark area. You don't want to move it too far to where you turn it to gray and make it look unnatural because it won't look good and it might affect other areas of your shot. But just enough so you start to get some detail. It makes a big difference. And these two sliders are just gold when you have a memory card full of shots captured in harsh lighting. So highlight and shadow recovery, big, big deal, and very, very nice when you shoot RAW. My last tip for dealing with assignments in harsh light is wait for the light to change. And what I mean by this, and I did this the other day for the wedding. So went ahead and shot the wedding at 2:00 in the afternoon, did the best I could. And actually, because I used the zoom lens, the 70-200 lot, I actually got a lot of really good shots. I did the minimal amount of group shots right after the ceremony. And then we let everyone go to the reception and have a good time and all that sort of stuff. Then a few hours later, around 5:30, 6:00, when the light was much sweeter, the sun had begun to get a little bit lower in the sky, and so everything just looked pretty outside. Oh, I mean, what a difference. I mean, you're just looking around the landscape and everything, and you go, oh, this is such eye relief. So then what I would do is gather up the folks on the group shots that we hadn't done yet, or maybe smaller portions of the group shots that we had done, and we would go back outside and say, hey, oh, do you have a few minutes? Let's just do a few more shots. And then take another series of shots when the light is good. And believe me, these shots will look 100 times better than the shots that you shot at 2 in the afternoon. Now, you don't always have the luxury of doing this, but keep this in the back of your mind, because I'll tell you, a lot of times people will go along with this, you know. And, you know, folks, a lot of folks understand photography to some degree, and all they have to do is look outside and see that it's a lot prettier now than it was earlier in the day, and they'll go along with it. So I have a pretty high success rate of talking people into going back outside, or, you know, back out into an area that's nice for taking shots and doing some more group shots later in the afternoon. Now, the other advantage to this is that they've usually had a chance to drink some champagne and some beer, maybe have a few cocktails, and they're a lot more relaxed than they were earlier in the day. And they're a lot more comfortable, too, because they're not as hot. So something to keep in mind, getting them back outside later on when the light is a lot sweeter. Believe me, if you can pull this off, it will really help your shoot. Okay, let me review our hit list here for dealing with harsh light. So, okay, the number one thing is consider film. Don't just automatically rule it out and think that you have to shoot digital. Shoot film and find an emulsion that is not high contrast, you know, more of a medium contrast emulsion, and shoot some shots with that. You'll be surprised how much information that film can retain in lousy light. So, you know, don't rule out film. The next thing is, you know, you're going to shoot digital also. Use the best camera that you have and then shoot in RAW mode. That allows you to capture as much information as possible. So shoot in RAW and use your best digital camera. Use fill flash when you have to shoot with a wider lens. It helps even things out. And if you have someone to help you, try reflectors. Reflectors are really nice, and they can help even out the exposure and allow you to get better shots. Don't forget about a zoom lens. And I'll tell you again, my 70 to 200, I don't think I could live without it on days like this. You get in tighter, the camera seems more capable for dealing with the tones, and I come away with some really good shots even under bad lighting conditions. Then, when it's time for processing, use an image editor that has a highlight and shadow recovery, because by doing that, you'll be able to salvage some shots that maybe initially don't look very good when they first come up on the screen. And last but not least, if you can, go back outside when the light is better, redo some of the shots, or do smaller groups or whatever, but try to get some group shots and some portraits in good light. If nothing else, just to supplement the stuff that you got in the harsh light early in the day. Now, these tips will really help you deal with these assignments. When you have tough lighting, you can get through them. You can come away with good shots. You'll work harder. You may drink a few more beers at the end of the shoot. But believe me, it is doable if you prepare and you think about, you know, how you're going to tackle this stuff. Just don't walk into it blind. Go into it prepared and go into it, you know, with the mindset that you have a bit of a battle ahead of you, but you can come away with great shots. All right, before we get to our virtual camera club business, I want to make sure that I acknowledge our sponsors, both Photomagico by Boink Software, beautiful slideshow software for making, you know, if you do that wedding and you do survive that harsh light and you do have a whole bunch of really good shots, why not put together a really good slideshow and really wow them? Photomagico will help you do that. It's terrific software, and there's a tile on every page on the digital story. Click on it and go over and take a look at it. and also our friends over at Expo Disc. And again, if they give you a little time on these harsh light assignments to do some white balance adjustment, especially if you're shooting under the shade of a tree, whip out your Expo Disc, get a good custom white balance setting. It will save you time in post-production. And they also have a tile on all the pages on the digital story. Our photo assignment for August is intersection. Pretty exciting stuff. Already some of the entries that are coming in look really good. So this is where things meet. This is where things cross. And I'll tell you, when you really start looking around, there's a lot of intersection going on around us. And, you know, stuff that may not initially be apparent to you, you know, once you kind of get that intersection filter on and start, you know, walking around looking for these shots, you're going to find some stuff that you may not have noticed before. So get those shots in by the end of the month. And the assignment for August is intersection. Keep those grab shots coming in. I've got just a few really good ones lately, but I could use a few more. So if you're sitting on some, send them in. And don't forget about our public Flickr group over at flickr.com. And that's FLICKR.com. And you can just search on groups, search on the digital story or digital photography, and it'll take you over there. It's a really nice public group. We have good discussions going on. We got lots of great photos. And remember, if you submit a photo to the Digital Story Flickr public group, it shows up on the Digital Story under the member photo gallery. And we've reworked that page a little bit too. I think it's looking really good. We've made a lot of improvements on the member photo gallery. So you upload to Flickr to the public group there, and your images will also show up on the member photo gallery on the Digital Story. It looks really nice. It has your name and some, you know, some other information there. It looks really good. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you go over and do that. Well, I think that will wrap it up for this week for our discussion on harsh light. Hope I wasn't too harsh in terms of dealing with it. But remember, I just survived a wedding in August at 2 p.m. out in the open. So I used almost all the tips that I gave you today. And as I was going over the shots earlier today, it looks like I made it through. So I wish you that same luck. And no matter what the lighting is, go out there and take pictures. And I will see you here next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.